All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Let me turn this up a second. Let me just pump it up a second. There we go. Good morning. It is May 8th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you were at. I'm sure it is. It's all mental. So if we're hopefully in a good mental spot, everything is great. But I did wake up this morning, beautiful day, besides the mental side of it, just visually amazing, beautiful, warm temperatures, got up, been doing my walking in the morning, I've shared a thing about that, trying to get up and get out and take on the day a little bit. It's a little easier when it's warmer, clearly, but man, what a great way to start the day. Walked, I don't know, it's maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles, whatever. It isn't that far. But it just feels good. Actually, 2 miles isn't bad. I shouldn't even say that. I know when I was running, if I wasn't like, I started off like, if I could just run to the corner, I'm killing it, right? And then I would say, well, let me see if I can run around this corner into the next corner, and then I'm killing it. And then I got into running a few miles and then into 5 miles. And then got into a little longer distance. And I'm like, well, if I'm not running 9 miles, I'm terrible. And that's a bad place to be. And so a mile and a half is a great, nice walk, right? It just gets me up, gets the blood moving. And just a reminder, I can take a little time to focus, get centered a little bit. Not that I'm too bad. Had a few things going on. I think I started to do this podcast the other day. I don't know. I did not finish it. I'm not sure what I talked about, but I've been talking about anxiety, and I had a bunch of anxiety when I was getting everything closed up in the salon. The salon's closed, everything's done, keys turned in, and I don't have any anxiety, right? It is a, I shared that, and I sort of was talking to somebody about this yesterday. You know, last couple of weeks I haven't really been having a relationship with a higher power. I've been having a relationship with self, and but self needed to get shit done, right? There was no time in the moment at that time for a lot of hand-holding with the higher power. I needed to roll up my sleeves and get some stuff done. And I can tell you there was no voice telling me, slow down, man, let's have a relationship. It was like, you need to get this done. Stop sitting around. Let's take care of business and keep it moving. And stressed out about it. Got it all done, though. In fact, I was just texting the guy that owns the building, where's my deposit, right? Trying to keep it cool. I was at a meeting the other day, and one of the topics was integrity. And, one of the cool things about getting sober, we obviously don't have to drink anymore. We don't have to drink and drive anymore. We don't have to do all that stuff. But the one thing that we can start doing is having integrity, right? And what that means to me is just, being a stand-up kind of person, right? Being accountable, being responsible, being reliable. Those might be all the same things, but they're all the things that I wasn't before, right? And, I had to have a little integrity when I got to open up the salon, and I had to have a lot of integrity when I closed it down. And I have to continue to have some integrity because, it's not always going my way, right? I want to get my deposit back. I was walking this morning, sort of justifying some ill behavior, right? I'm going to call this son of a bitch and demand my money back. And, that's not having integrity. That is being out of sorts, right? And not thinking things through. And I did text him. I said, hey, good morning. Just wondering when I'm going to get my deposit back. He texted me back and he said he's going to talk to the bookkeeper. And he says, oh, by the way, I got the mailbox key. Thank you. And I said, you're welcome. There's a side of me that really wants to be crummy, right? There's a side of me that really wants to behave badly. There's a side of me that wants to have no integrity, wants to have no character, right? I've been watching a little bit of television, right? And there was this documentary on a few of the past president. And it was really, I think what it comes down for me today is just this, all I'm looking for today really is just some integrity and a man with some character. What do you know
it is hard being a long time apart, but it's you that I love, don't you see? And when I go away, you say, please stay okay. I want you to stay only with me. Well, you know it is hard, all these girls not so smart, and they see me all over the place. When they phone me at night, ask me out for a fight, I can see my lust in their face. All these chicks really know, the next day I will go, and they never will see me again. So when I am back home, and we both are alone,
Scorpions, Only a Man. Yeah, I was unaware what integrity was. I was unaware what character was, and working a program and spending some time free of that shit that I was ingesting gave me an opportunity to start to learn what it is, and even some false character, right, and some false integrity, because early on, I was pretty freaking proud of myself, right, pretty proud, patting myself on the back pretty well. You know, I was pretty excited. I'd been down so low, right? Been down at the bottom for so long that anything with integrity or any sort of better character really felt good. And that's fine. It does feel good. It is awesome. It's kind of like when you have a child and they start to walk, right? And they're just amazed. And then once they start walking, they just want to run. And that's sort of what like early recovery was for me. I started walking and then I just wanted to run. And, you know, but we learn, right? And I don't have to explain it. These steps, this program will, if we spend the time, right? If we're honest, it is a, it's a great journey, but it put in the time and we will learn. And, that's what's awesome about it. You know, I went to a meeting. I've been to a couple meetings since I think the last podcast I did. I went to a meeting on Sunday, the Promises meeting. And I don't know. I don't think I did this, but yeah, I don't think I did. It was on a promise, and the promise was we will comprehend the word serenity. And I love that promise because I comprehend the word serenity. There it is. I said it right. I comprehend the word serenity. And the reality is I do comprehend the word serenity. Do I stay in that serene place all the time? I do not. I don't think I am supposed to, right? I think serenity is a, I do think that there, you know, just like the serenity prayer, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I do think that we can live by that. But do I have to be in a place of serenity all the time? No. And in fact, this past week, this past couple weeks, really I haven't been in a serene place. I've been in a place confident that I know that it'll work out, right? I have the courage, really. I have the wisdom. I have the wisdom to know if I put in the work and I plan it correctly, I will get it all done. And this too shall pass. And so I know how to stay, I think, in a place of serene. But, you know, like I said, this past couple of weeks, I haven't been holding the hand of God. I've been holding the hand of self. And, you know, sometimes the conversation of anxiety and depression comes up, And I, like I've said before, I've always felt like anxiety was just God's way of telling me, this is some stuff you need to work on. And if you're going to ignore it, I'm not going to make it easy for you because we're going to think about it. But the problem is when that's happening, that's really a lot of self, right? Because it's about inconvenience. I can't believe I have to keep thinking about this. I can't believe I got to get this done, right? I'm not in this place of like, you know, chill and relax and peaceful. I mean, the underlying side of it is, yes, I am. Because I know, listen, I can get this done. It was always one thing in my life when I was always, you know, wanting to do things, but always knowing that, excuse me, that I drank too much or I did drugs, right? That was always this huge cloud over my head. And just knowing that I don't have that today, I know that I'm going to get it worked out. Now, I can choose how painful the process is going to be, right? Through procrastination and some other character defects that seem to pop up during times where work needs to be completed. But that's my choice, right? There's been times in recovery where I've made that choice and I've prolonged it and it's taken longer and it's made it worse. But over time, I realized you could do better than this, right? You don't have to suffer like this. You don't have to exist in this place of worry. And so, like, even going through, you know, clearing out this lawn, I was stressed. I had anxiety, but I also had a plan, right? And I put it into place. And luckily, over time, with character, right, having integrity, you build relationships up when sometimes you can, you know, you have to reach out and say, hey, you know, I need, you know, my buddy Rick helps me with anything, especially when it comes to the salon. I'm going to do some painting, Rick. What do you need, right? Worst part about it, he won't even charge me, right? I have to stuff money in his hand, right? Because him and I, we got sober together and we just, you know, I'd do anything for Rick. Unfortunately, I always seem to be asking something from Rick. Rick never seems to ask anything from me, but Rick likes painting. And so, you know, I'm like, I want to paint some walls. He's like, what do you want to do? I said, you know, you pick. And he comes up with the cool shit. But these are relationships that have built over time through integrity, right, and having character. So when time comes, you know I can reach out to my buddy Rick and Tony. You know, I gave him money. Rick says, pay Tony, don't worry about me. And so I did the same thing when we sold our house, right? I know I needed painted. I reached out to my buddy Rick. I need painting. He had another buddy, Tony. Take care of Tony. Don't worry about me. And I would do the same for Rick. Unfortunately, there's nothing I do that Rick needs. But Rick is one of my greatest friends. And it's all because we have character and integrity with each other. We treat each other well. And you know, but that's how all the relationships I think I've had and try to have. You know, it's not anxiety, it's a challenge, right? We signed up for, we wanted to do some gun shooting lessons, right? I'm not a big fan of guns. I don't own a gun. I appreciate the Second Amendment, right? I think we should have the right to have a gun. It's in the Constitution, but not a big fan, but I do want to be educated, right? I have shot a gun. I remember when I was back in living in Albuquerque and Ken C, my boss, right? We were hammered and we went out to the desert to shoot guns and he had this fucking Colt 45. I don't know, that Clint Eastwood long silver gun, big ass freaking rifle handgun. And I remember shooting it drunk. And that thing blasted off and my ears rang for 3 freaking days. And there's nothing worse than being absolutely hammered with ringing ears. And I'll never forget that. But, you know, we've talked about wanting to educate ourselves, take some classes and, you know, learn firearm safety, right? I want to be safe in case we ever do need to have a firearm. And I hope we never do, but I don't want to be like, duh, what's this? And listen, I'm not a complete idiot, right? I'm familiar, but I also would like safety so that I, in turn, can pass this on to my children and get them educated as well. You know, whatever. It isn't even a big deal. But the problem is that we signed up for these classes, and we signed up for, like, I think it was like 3 classes, and we paid for all of it. And it was a lot of money. And I was like, why did we do that? You know, we're kind of caught up in the excitement of doing this. Let's do this. We had walked into this gun store and my wife's like, I want that pink gun. I go, I think we should take a class, right? I'm not sure the pink gun is probably the most appropriate gun. We should probably learn and, you know, I'm sure through the process we get fitted and find out what would be more appropriate for us. But I'm like, you know, and caught up in the excitement. We signed up, I think paid for like six classes, like very $1,400 or something. And then, you know, obviously I changed, moved the salon, and then my schedule changed, and we're not going to be able to go to class. In fact, the class was last night. I called, we called and we said, listen, my wife called and said, my husband's schedule's changed. He is working now on that night. And we were wondering if we could just get our money back. And they're like, we don't do refunds. Well, my integrity and my character got a little crooked, right? Because I'm like, well, how can you not return someone's money? How could you have I never understand how you can have a policy where you don't give somebody back their money, right? I have been in business for a long time, and one thing I've learned is give people back their money, right? You know, they'll try to say, oh, well, you can reschedule the class. And we could, and we probably will. But I can't do it right now. I am busy. It is summer, and I could actually use the money doing something else. I would rather they gave us our money back. Let us get into, you know, get through the summer, and then maybe in the fall we'll take a look at it. And then I'd welcome going back to them. But if they're going to pull this policy bullshit that they don't return money, which I don't get that. Unless you're just desperate and panicking, why wouldn't you give people back your money? Especially when we haven't used it. You know, it'd be one thing if we bought something and wanted to return, if we bought a gun and wanted to return it. But these were classes that we signed up that I'm not going to be able to do. And I would rather have the money and use it what I need to right now than have it in their pockets. And so, of course, my wife's like, oh, the policy is they don't return the money. So I'm sort of steaming in my morning serenity walk, right? I'm sort of losing my shit a little bit. Which I've done, and I always used to do that, especially with running. I used to say I'd find my enemies, I'd slaughter them, and then by the end of the run, I'd be picking them up and asking for forgiveness. So that's sort of what happened this morning. I was really getting quite upset about this whole thing, and then sort of came to this conclusion that, hey, you know, we'll just go with our character, right? Hey, this is what happened. This is what I'm asking. And, you know, as a former business owner and a local, right? I'm just asking you to give us back our money. Hopefully they will. If not, I can always dispute it, I guess, but I do not like to do that. So hopefully we can come to an agreement. But I know by the end of it, when it's all said and done, I'm going to walk away from this situation with my character, right? With my integrity. I don't need to burn a bridge, right? Just because things aren't actually going my way. And that's one of the cool things about recovery. The other thing I was going to talk about was this, I went to the meeting on Monday. It's just funny. I had there's a great meeting here that we go on Mondays at Dry Dock, and my buddy Gary runs it, and I've only been one time, and I always see Gary. I say, Gary, you do such a great job. I love that meeting. I really want to get back to it. And, it's a big book meeting, which is, you know, we basically just read stories out of the back of the big book and then sort of chat about it. And I went to this meeting, I don't know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And it was great because we read this story, and I think it's on page 258. And in the story, the story is, you know, the typical, you know, drunk in the 50s, struggling and then finding the program and working through it and all the miracles that take place. It's a great story. But what I always found interesting, and I found it interesting that day we read it 6 months ago, and I found it interesting because we read the same story on Monday, was about the six steps of the program. And in this story, you know, I don't know if they had gotten it from the Washingtonians, but they were really focusing on the six steps of AA, or the six steps of recovery. And the first step was complete humiliation. And I know I've talked about this before because I was like, complete humiliation. I can relate to complete humiliation because that's how I initially came into this program, was with complete humiliation. You know, I wasn't the guy that was like, damn it, I just drink too much and I need recovery, right? I had to, because, and listen, every morning I thought that. Like every morning I would wake up and go, God damn. I really need to take, I'm not drinking today. Every morning that my day would start off with those words, I'm not going to drink today. And over the period of the morning of sobering up and then maybe having some lunch And then, you know, coming to, I guess, I would start to change my tune a bit. And but it was the same shit. Wake up with a bunch of shame and regret, and then by the evening, doing it all over again. So I wasn't the guy that could just come in and say, hey, you know, darn it, I drink too much, right? I needed complete humiliation, ego devastation, and I got it, right? I got punched in the mouth. I had been punched in the mouth before. I had wrecked cars before. I'd had complete deflation before, but just the right things lined up that night that allowed me to get to this program. But it wasn't because I surrendered, right? It was because I got the shit beat out of me. And the problem is that when that happens, I came in as a victim, right? And I addressed everything as a victim, which was really not a lot of accountability. Everybody else's fault, the alcohol's fault, right? That guy that spoke on the promise, you know, he talked about how, you know, he spoke in a way like it was the alcohol's fault. And I told him, I said, you know, I've never seen a bottle that spoke to me, right? It's never the alcohol's fault. It's my fault. And, but you know, that is the, unfortunately, when I came in, that was how I had to have it done. You know, I had to have complete deflation. The problem is I drank after 5 years, right? I had that voice. You've done good. It really had just been waiting, right? The voice had been waiting. And, you know, when I came into this program, I had nothing. I've said this before, nothing. Not a girlfriend. I had a terrible car. I had a terrible job. I had terrible neighbors. I had a terrible apartment. I lived in a terrible part of town. And I had no hope. And I had a terrible outlook. And when I got sober, you know, I caught back up and I got, you know my story, right? I got all this, and then I would proceed to lose it after 5 years, lose everything. And, you know, when I came back into this program, I had to do it the way that the first step's written now. You know, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, and that's what I had to do. I didn't have complete deflation. I had surrender, right? I had to come in, complete, admit, because after I'd lost everything, right, I came in, had nothing, built up a small little world, right, and then blew that all up, and then sat there on that porch that night and said, you know, and I, you know, having a taste of AA, having a head full of AA and a belly full of beer is a terrible thing, and it was eating me up, and finally, you know, making that phone call, but I had to come in the new version way, which was we admit we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Coming in with complete deflation does help. It is a good motivator, but I'm not sure that it's easy to put the light on the problem, right? Because when you come in as a victim, it's everybody. I came in because the damn bartender punched me, right? I came in because, you know, I got thrown out the bar and landed on the street in front of the front door, right? There was all these other reasons. But when I came in the second time, because I admitted it, I finally said, finally, I admit it, I'm powerless. It's so important. Right, and we are coming into that time. We just finished the 12 step with the meetings. We're going to start rounding it back to the beginning, to the first step. And that first step is so important. And I just find it so fascinating when I read that story on 258 of the Big Book, where it talks about the first six steps. And then I'm like, why did they change it? Why? Who realized it? Because I do think somebody realized it and said, listen, we can't come in on complete deflation. We have to come in on complete surrender, right? We have to admit. When I admitted, I said, because I remember standing on that porch at 4 a.m, smoking a cigarette, drunk and high, and thinking, you got to do something. You're fucking headed to a terrible place. And making that phone call to Marvin L, and him driving and coming to get me, and even going to that the place up in York, Pennsylvania, and that afterwards that guy telling me, I still think you're full of shit. And me thinking, I don't think so, right? Much more work needed to be done. But it happened, and I'm just so grateful for that. And so that's, you know, that's just sort of what's been going on this week. I tried to do a podcast the other day and got a little bit in my head. So we're just pushing this one out, pushing it through. Hopefully next Monday I'm going to have the podcast with Tracy. What's it called? Beautiful Erect or something, about her book. Haven't read it. I gave the book away. My wife read it, loved the book, told me it was amazing. Had another person that wanted it, gave it away. So I'm going to do a podcast with Tracy, and hopefully we'll do it with her and on her book, and I haven't read it, so we'll have to have her come on and tell us about it. It's kind of funny because I'm not as much interested in the story, right? We all have our own story. I know my story is different than everybody else's. It's my story. It's continuously changing. I've always said if someone told me these are all the things that I needed to do, and if I followed these small directions, it would be fine. It just didn't work for me. I think we all have to and get to really grind through these things and learn our own lessons, because in the end, we're the one that has to be accountable, right? We're the one that has to have the integrity, and hopefully after it's all said and done, we're the ones that have to have better character. And let's see here. What are we doing? What's our time? Let's see. Got a busy day going paddling today. It is spectacular outside. I'm very excited. I was going to go to a meeting this morning, forgot again, but I'm going to a meeting tonight. Just chilling, off today. Great. The transition over to the new salon's been amazing. Now that the fear is gone, now that the anxiety of the other salon is gone, I'm just sort of settling in and getting to be cool in the place and really enjoying it. So, you know, very blessed. God, all these people are texting me. I want to read the daily reflection, and then we will be out of here. No, that's not going to work. Let's see. All right, daily reflection. All right. A resting place, May 8th. All of AA's 12 steps ask us to go contrary to our natural desires. They all deflate our ego. When it comes to ego deflation, few steps are harder to take than 5, but scarcely any step is more necessary to long-term sobriety and peace of mind than this one. That is true. Yes, and that I think is the real first test, right? Are we going to be honest? I was not. All right. That's 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 55. After writing down my character defects, I was unwilling to talk about them, and I decided it was time to stop carrying this burden alone. I needed to confess those defects to someone else. I had read and been told I could not stay sober unless I did step 5. Step 5 provided me with a feeling of belonging, with a humility and serenity when I practiced it in my daily living. It was important to admit my defects of character in the order presented in step 5, to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. Admitting to God first paved the way for admission to myself and to another person. As the taking of the step is described, a feeling of being at one with God and my fellow man brought me to a resting place where I could prepare myself for the remaining steps towards a full and meaningful sobriety. Yes, sir. Yeah, I do think step 5, I mean, it was for me. Right, I think step 5 was really the first line in the sand that said, listen, you got to really do this or you will suffer the consequences. And I'm like, how could there be any consequences? Who knows? Right? Who really knows inside? And the fact is that we know. And I think over time, you know, working a program, we do build a relationship with God, right? A lot of people early on, that's sort of how I know where people are in their recovery. You know, is the relationship with God and all of the reasons and alternatives to God that they will talk about and not using God. And I said this in the meeting. I said, if you are going to have a problem having a relationship with God, I think you're going to drink again. What? I think it's true. Listen, if a person has such a hang up on God, that is self, right? And if you're so full of self that you have this thing and you can't just surrender and say, fine, right? What is it? And start to open up about it, because over time, the relationship I have with God, I had this guy come in the other day, yesterday, I cut his hair, and he was a preacher, and we had this, I shared with him what my new relationship with God is, this new place free of fear, right? And he was like, yes, right? Yes. You know, but I know one thing, it's my relationship, right? And because I can't continue to try to have the one that self wanted, because it's just a disappointment. right? But what I've learned is just to be free of fear, and how do I stay in this place is by doing things like the fifth step, right? Finding those character defects, listing them out, listening with your sponsor, listening with yourself, listening with God, and then, you know, burning it. And then we continue to take personal inventory. We continue to make sure we don't do the same things over. But having that moment where we share with a higher power and another human being is a real spiritual moment, right? It is. And before that, they're like, I don't understand why. I mean, the devil's telling us it doesn't matter. It don't matter. You don't need to tell. You do need to tell. Don't listen to the devil. Any voice that comes out of your mouth that says that you don't want to do something, just know that's the devil, right? And keep listening, and you're going to get yourself screwed. I hope everyone has a great day. Later.